The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTapes.com studios.
It's a good Monday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmat, Sports 360 AZ. Very, very good Monday on AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and of course on Twitter, at Brad Sesmat. Thanks for being with us. Over the next couple of hours, we go a lot of different directions on the show. Quite a bit going on locally. The Miami Heat are in town, I understand. Later today, they'll be available to meet with the media. Michael Beasley back in. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade. There's still tickets for tomorrow night's Suns Heat game, by the way. Hard to believe that, but, you know, not really when you think of where the Suns were and how the fans are just now starting to get back into it. So that's going on today. Other things that, because we are Arizona-centric, there is a little bit going on the college football front that I'm going to get to. But obviously today's show, quite a bit of it's going to be Michael Sam. Michael Sam, the defensive player of the year from the Southeast Conference, coming out saying that he is gay. Why is it such a big deal? Because it's the National Football League, and we'll get into that on the show today. Albert Breer is going to join us in about 10 minutes, one of the best in the business with the NFL Network. Albert Breer, NFL Insider. There's been a lot said in the last, 15, 16 hours since this has come out, trying to give this story a little bit more of an advancing rather than just pontificating by why is this such a big deal or here's because it's a really big deal. I'll work some of that in on today's show. Do I think he's going to get drafted? What is Albert Breer hearing? He's been talking to several NFL executives today. This is not Jason Collins. Get into that. And locker rooms in the NFL. So there's quite a bit around the Michael Sam story. There's quite a bit around the Marcus Smart story today. And it actually does involve Arizona State in a roundabout way. Get into that in a minute with Eric. News and notes with Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports columnist. And the Diamondbacks, I was over at the Diamondbacks this morning at Salt River Field. Spent some time talking with Patrick Corbin and Archie Bradley. Bronson Arroyo will not be in town until Wednesday if you're one of those fans wanting to go out and see him. So quite a bit going on locally. Eric joins us now with our Facebook question of the day to get us off and running on a Monday.
Well, Brad, busy weekend, as you mentioned, in college basketball, and partly more happening off the court than on the court Saturday afternoon. At Wells Fargo Arena, Oregon coaches accused an ASU student of spitting on them as they left the floor. And then later that night in Lubbock, Texas, Oklahoma State star guard Marcus Smart was shoved by a Texas Tech fan, as you know. In no major sport are the fans closer to the action than in basketball. So today is a yes or no question. Yes or no. Are these isolated incidents, or is it time to put more of a buffer zone, so to speak, between the fans and the players in college basketball? And you know, Brad, you've seen several games at ASU. The way the student section is kind of tiered off towards the visiting bench, the students that are sitting in the front row literally can take a step or two and sit down on the opposing player's bench. And there's, 1,000 students at a game and maybe two or three security guards in that area. Mm-hmm. It's amazing something like this doesn't happen more often, in my opinion.
Ask Steve Kerr about ASU students.
Yep.
Look, this has been an ongoing issue for 20 years. And I'll get further into this in a minute. It's a very good question today. That's over at Sports 360 AZ on our Facebook page. Like the page. Weigh in on the poll today. That's on Facebook.
And we had one person, Brad, that said on Facebook that said, well, that's not true. I mean, you sit really close to the baseball game. You sit really close to the hockey game.
No.
But exactly. At a baseball game, you have netting and you have a wall. And at a hockey game, you have glass and restrictions. People sit on the basketball court. That's why they call them courtside seats.
At a Suns game, you're sitting right next to the huddle now.
It's amazing this doesn't happen more often, especially with the heat of the battle and how competitive college athletics are these days.
Well, see, and I would take that beyond just college. It's like tomorrow night. You have LeBron James and Dwayne Wade tomorrow night in Phoenix making their only appearance of the season. You have Michael Beasley, too. Thank goodness he's making only one appearance. But the fans that go to those games, it's like when Kobe and the Lakers used to roll through here when they were relevant, and they're not relevant now. They're not any good. I was surprised that there weren't more problems and more fights, and people just become stupid when they go to sporting events. It's like on the back of the ticket, it says you can just act as dumb as you want because I got my ticket. That's not excusing Marcus Smart. All right, that's a good question. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. Honda Resort and Casino. The Winter Games are coming up later this month. Winter Games, you've got sled dog racing, of course, you got the mountain mutt, all sorts of great fun and entertainment. If it's not that in a couple of weeks, it could be this weekend. They head on up, or even today. Around the state as you take in Sports 360 AZ, head on up to the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. Beautiful Pine Top this time of year. Year-round, that's the Honda Resort and Casino. Great food, great fun. That's the place to be at the Honda Resort and Casino. Michael Sam went public to avoid someone else breaking the news that he was gay. Michael Sam, Missouri player, a very good player on the collegiate level, announcing last night or yesterday that he is, in fact, a gay man who's coming into the NFL.
I'm not afraid of who I am. I'm not afraid to tell the world of who I am. I'm Michael Sam. I'm a college graduate. I'm African-American, and I'm gay.
So Gary Pinkel had to have done a terrific job of coaching, and his staff had to have done a terrific job of coaching, because Michael Sam, to keep a locker room together, is just not that big of a deal, I don't believe, in this day and age on a college campus.
I told my teammates this past August that I came out to my teammates, and they took it great. They rallied around me. They supported me, and I couldn't ask for better teammates.
Okay, so think about that. He came out last August, and there were people at the NFL Combine, not the Combine, in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, NFL people, it's all come out in the last 12, 14 hours, that were asking questions about, does he hang around with girls? Does he have anybody that he is close to that's a female? And that was the story that was buzzing around. Today, it's come out in a couple of circles that NFL executives have already said that they have had discussions on what to do, whether or not to draft Michael Sam as this progresses forward. We're going to talk to Albert Breer here in a couple of minutes on this topic. To me, it always just goes back, can you play? And if you can't play, then you're not going to belong in the league. Anybody who tries to compare this to when Jason Collins came out, Jason Collins was in his mid-30s and it was the end of the run for him. Yet you could easily make the argument about the level of competition that Michael Sam put up his numbers against. Yeah, he's in the Southeastern Conference, and he was a defensive player in that conference, but he put up most of his numbers against the Arkansas State and Florida, who wasn't very good, and Vanderbilt in terms of his sacks and his numbers. If he's got to go play for a team, it's got to be the right city for him to play in, I do believe. But beyond that, can the guy play or not play? Because I just don't think that this is that big of a deal in this day and age. I really don't. I don't sit here and say I'm offended or I'm going to root against this guy. That's his beliefs. He's going to come out and go into the NFL and try to be in a place of business. Now, if he can't play, are there going to be those that say, well, you held it against Michael Sam? It's like the Christian right with Tim Tebow. Oh my gosh, Tim Tebow has to be able to play because he's Tim Tebow. But, oh, well, you're not letting him out on the field because he has these strong religious beliefs. No, he couldn't play. Okay? He couldn't play. If you can play, you're going to be fine. It doesn't matter what sport you're in. So there's more to this story. It's just some general thoughts off the top. I don't think that this is, to me, a story that I laid awake in bed saying, oh my gosh, or even driving in today or talking to people today about what I was going to get into on the show, that this should be the overriding topic. I know there's a fascination, and mainly because it's the NFL. If this was in hockey, or if this was in baseball, or if this was in basketball, it wouldn't be nearly as big. It wouldn't be. The Collins story was big on its own right, its own merit. But don't try to compare a kid who was SEC Defensive Player of the Year versus a guy who was a journeyman just trying to hang on. There was no comparison. There wasn't. Some of these quotes, I'm going to get into that as the show moves along. Some of these quotes from these NFL guys from the first story that came out of this in Sports Illustrated are somewhat archaic, I think. So there's that story. Marcus Smart. So Marcus Smart goes after a ball. He goes off the court after a ball. The game is at a fever pitch. He gets into the stands, as happens in basketball, because of the proximity of the seats. He gets up, turns around, shoves a fan, gets suspended for 3 games for shoving a fan. Fan's name is Jeff Orr. Smart said the fan used a racial slur on him. The fan says, no, I called Smart a piece of crap. The fan says, I'm not going to go to any more games this season. Marcus Smart has had a rough go of it this year. He's a terrific player, but his team has been up and down this season. Watching the replay, and if you watch the replay, there's also a lady there alongside the guy who's waving her finger at him too, back and forth. Heat of battle, late a game, desperate situation. Fan says something. Here's Marcus Smart.
I want to apologize to the fan whose name is Jeff Orr. I want to apologize to him. You know, and I want to apologize to my teammates, my coaching staff, Coach Ford, my family, Oklahoma State University.
So here's a guy that that goes out and apologizes. His head coach is Travis Ford. Interesting comments from Travis Ford.
Marcus Smart has had many great moments as a person, as a player. And I know Marcus Smart's heart. I know how he's hurting. I know how regretful he is right now.
Now, when the coach says, I know Marcus Smart, sounds very professional, doesn't it? Almost like a little bit of, let's put an elbow or an arm's length away on this one. Marcus Smart, not, I know my teammate, Marcus. But it was very professional on Travis. There was not much sympathy there is how I took those comments. Archie Bradley, the Diamondbacks ace, coming up through the ranks, I call him ace. He's going to be the ace down the road. Star pitcher, Oklahoma State guy. I caught up to him earlier this morning over at Salt River Fields because he's been very active on Twitter and social media about this. Here's Archie Bradley. I asked him his take on the Marcus Smart incident because he's been there in that arena, in that environment.
That's funny you ask that. I've been in numerous ballparks, especially in the minor leagues. You know, you get the dollar beer nights, things like that, and you hear a lot of things that just should not be said towards you. But, you know, as an athlete, you're held to a higher standard. You know, you have to have a lot of self-control. But there's certain things that cross the line. But I think, you know, with where we are, the money we get paid, things like that, you have to be able to control yourself. But at the same time, fans should be held accountable, and just certain things cannot be said.
If you're a college guy, though, and you're right there in the heat of the moment, on one hand, it's reactionary. On the other, it could have escalated into a much worse situation.
Exactly. I mean, that's what people, you know, tend to forget, even with the, you know, the Richard Sherman interview and Marcus Smart, you know, 2 days ago, is in an emotional state that he was in, as big of a game that was, you know, losing, drawing the foul, things like that. And whatever the guy said, it's not clear, but it was obviously something that, you know, he did not appreciate and didn't like. And, you know, when you're that emotional and you're that competitive, you know, and you hear something like that, you know, sometimes it's just a quick reaction and you regret it, but, you know, things escalate. And like you said, it could have been a lot worse.
You've been to Lubbock before?
I've not, actually.
I've been to that one. That's a bit of a surprise. Moving forward, 3 games enough of a suspension?
I think so. You know, I mean, if you look at it, it wasn't that big of a shove. Like I said, I mean, there's no excuse to doing that, but I think the suspension was, you know, enough, and I think he learned his lesson. And watching his press conference interview yesterday, yeah, I felt like he was sincere, and, you know, he really did regret what he did, and I think he'll learn from it and bounce back.
So Archie Bradley earlier, again, Oklahoma State guy, knows his way around back there. Will it impact Marcus Smart's draft status? I think that's a very fair question to ask on some fronts. Again, it comes down to, can he play or not? The Suns and Rudy Gay, Zach Randolph, Thaddeus Young, all these names around the Suns. I want Kevin Love here. I'll talk about that as the show moves on. But up next, so the story of the day, Michael Sam, groundbreaking announcement. NFL Network's Albert Breer, one of the best in the business. He's been canvassing NFL executives, front office types since this announcement came out. Albert Breer joins me next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
All this should matter. Can he help us win games? Is he a team player? That's all that should matter. And which I like to see myself as, that I am a team player. I can make plays. I can help teams win games. And that's all that should matter.
It's Michael Sam with the announcement yesterday. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ on AZ Central Sports as well. White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Albert Breer joins us, NFL Network insider, has been on the show quite often. Appreciate his time on a busy, busy day. What do you think needs to be said, Albert, that hasn't been said, that you've been listening, reading in social media about this story, from your view?
Well, you know, I think one of the main things that we need to remember is that these decisions made by these teams aren't made in a vacuum. And, you know, I think that there are people in the NFL who now feel a little bit uncomfortable by the circumstance, just because, and I've heard it from a lot of different guys. Now, I saw you know, some people saying he's a third-round type prospect. And part of the problem here that I think we're going to get over the next few months is, you know, the overreaction of one thing or the other, and I think part of that's the projection. So if you got enough people, you know, saying he's a third-round prospect, which my understanding is he's not,
mm-hmm.
If you get enough people saying he's a third-round prospect, it kind of becomes gospel. And if that becomes gospel and then he winds up going in the fifth or sixth round, well, then there's going to be all this commentary out there about how, you know, NFL GMs, NFL coaches don't look at him the same way. You know, so I think the important thing for everybody here is to kind of, you know, if you're going to follow this, you're going to be, you know, have a take at the end of it, just pay attention to what's going on, you know, and read everything and don't take one thing as gospel and just try to get a better understanding of how the kid stacks up as a football player. And then we can assess the social stuff afterwards. But, you know, I think that there's going to be a lot of, and it's understandable, you know, there's going to be a desire out there to use this as kind of, you know, to use this as a way of viewing, you know, how, you know, that group of people, football players, football coaches, football executives, how ready all of them are for this. And, you know, I just think the one thing that, you know, just talking to football people over the last, you know, whatever, 18 hours since the news broke.
Sure.
I think the one thing they're most worried about is that, you know, are they going to be allowed to look at this as just a strictly football decision? Because there's going to be so much pressure from the outside world on them, you know, to look at this kid as just another prospect, to the point where, you know, no one's going to be looking at him that way.
The most overplayed angle, I think, in the last 18 hours, it's been talked about is the NFL ready for this in a locker room?
Right.
Where are you at on that one?
I don't think it's finally the NFL's completely ready for it. You know, but this is the kind of thing that you're never going to be ready for until it happens.
Sure.
I'm sure Missouri wasn't ready for it last summer, you know? But, you know, obviously they found a way to deal with it because they were able to keep this thing quiet for 6 months, you know? So, you know, I think when this happened at Mizzou, I think you probably, I'm sure there were a fair number of players that would have told you, you know, I don't think we're quite ready for that yet. You know, but now, you know, it was kind of thrust upon them. Okay, we're going to go ahead and deal with this, and we're going to handle it the way that we know best. And they went from being a 5-1 team to being a 12-1 team that was playing the SEC title game. And, you know, the kid who's at the center of all of it winds up being the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. So do I think that NFL locker rooms are ready for it? No. You know, but I don't think there's any way to be ready for something like this until you actually go through it. You know, it's... And I know that this is going to sound a little weird, but it's a little bit like, you know, what's gone on with Tim Tebow. And that, you know, to some degree, you know, Tebow, the willingness of some teams to take on Tim Tebow as a player isn't about how good or bad he is as a player. Is he worth the distraction, everything he brings with him? You know, there were a lot of teams that didn't feel like their locker room could handle going through all the media attention that they were going to get as a result of that. There's a parallel there with this, that, you know, this is going to bring in CNN, and this is going to bring in Good Morning America, and this is going to create something around your team that you're going to have to manage. It's not really the kid's fault. You know, it's not anybody in the team's fault. It's just there. And so, you know, I think that, you know, going to the right city is going to be part of it. I think going to the right team with the right head coach is going to be part of it. You know, again, I don't think it would have been hard to find someone on Missouri's football team that would have told you in an honest moment last summer, if you asked them that question, you know, it would have been hard to find the guy who would tell you, we're not ready for that quite yet. Nobody is until you go through it. And the good thing is that door is opening now.
Albert Breer, NFL Network insider with us for a couple of minutes with Brad Sussmat. So you've canvassed several NFL people, I'm sure of it, in what you do.
Yeah.
He's going to be drafted. There's been this notion that now he won't be drafted at all. That's not true.
I, you know, what's interesting about him as a prospect, just being strictly from a football standpoint,
yeah,
is he's one of these guys that generally gets overrated in the pre-draft process before people start really talking to teams because he's high profile, he had big stats. You know, and so, you know, as a prospect, the consensus that I've gotten is he's a day three prospect. And so you're talking about rounds 4 to 7 there. Now, do I think this is going to affect his draft stock? I think it certainly could. You know, I think it certainly, now, the question about whether or not we're going to be able to tell by the final result is another question altogether. you know, will it affect his draft stock? Yes, because there are going to be teams that aren't going to be willing to take on, you know, everything again, all the stuff on the periphery, not his fault, not the team's fault, but teams that just don't feel like they're, you know, the makeup of their team is right to deal with all of that are going to pass on it. You know, but there are going to be teams that do feel ready to deal with it and do feel like they're the right place, do feel like there's value in taking a player. And so, you know, whether or not that, if that one team decides they want to do it in the fourth round, well, then he didn't flip at all. And you can't tell that there was a real effect. But I guarantee you that inside, you know, these teams' draft meetings over the course of the next few weeks is something that's being discussed. And so by definition, if those discussions are happening, it is affecting the way that teams think about them. And some teams will decide, hey, let's push this off to the side. It's fine. No problem. We'll be able to deal with it for, you know, we'll go through it for the first month or two. He's here. And then after that, it'll be easier to manage. There'll be other teams that might say, you know, we're not ready to deal with it. And, you know, that's all, that all goes into it. And I, you know, I've heard stuff on the flip side from executives and GMs too. Some people think that, you know, that he had the character to do this really says something about him.
Sure.
And, you know, the fact that the team kept it quiet for as long as they did tells you about the kind of respect that he had in that locker room and in that program. And on top of that, because he is one of these guys who's going to have to find a position in the pros because he's kind of, you know, one of those tweener types. So a lot of times character goes into the evaluation for those players and being able to figure out, I got to do X, Y, or Z to make it. And so some people I talked to last night actually said that they think because he's got the character, he's shown character in doing all of this over the last 6 months, that he certainly has the football character to go and go through a position change or whatever it might be when he gets to the pro level.
And really, when we're talking football, he's a 3-4 guy. If we're just talking X and O, he needs to go to a 3-4 defense.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, so the thing is, so many teams, and he's, it's kind of the same problem. And I'm not saying he's Dwight Freeney. He's not. You know, Dwight Freeney was a freak. But it's one of those genre of pass rushers that are a little bit smaller, you know. And so I think you can definitely find, the good thing for him is teams are playing more and more in their nickel defenses now. And more, and so you're seeing a higher percentage of the snaps, whether it's gone from 40 to 60% or whatever it is, are being played in the nickel versus being played in the base. And this is a player who, you look at him on paper, he can find a home in the nickel. You know, when the offense is in third and long, you're going to be able to get him out there, and he's going to be able to help your pass rush. Now, the question is whether or not he can do more than that. And there are plenty of players coming out of college who have to answer that question, but that's where he is right now. Is, okay, you know, everyone knows he can probably contribute for us in our nickel defense. We can find a way to get him on the field as a situational pass rusher. The question is, can he do more than that? And I think in a 3-4 defense, he projects a little bit easier to being a base player and a guy who can play the run because you can play him at that outside linebacker position than he does in the 4-3 because it's harder to envision him having his hand on the ground in rundowns. And obviously in a lot of 4-3 defense, you're going to be asked to play off the line, which is a lot different.
It is a little bit like Teau a year ago in just the media side and
yeah.
All the attention.
Well, it's funny because when I was talking to one general manager last night, he told me, you know, he said the city is going to be important. You know, where he goes, it's going to have an effect. You know, now if he goes to New York, it's a story every day.
Sure.
You get the tabloids competing for stuff and everything else. You know, if he goes to a team in the South, I mean, you know, could that have an effect? You know, because you're going to have, you know, you could have religious groups outside of training camp, that kind of, you know.
It was the same thing with Tebow. Your
right.
Your Tebow analysis was what, as I said earlier, I think that there's
sure.
some correlations between Tay
sure.
Allen and the overreaction,
right.
Tebow,
well,
and now
the
this.
The thing with Tay, though, Tay went to a perfect place. He went
yep.
to San Diego. It's a mid-sized market. It's a progressive kind of place, a little bit more accepting of that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think Tay went to a fantastic place based on everything, because he was going in there, there's a new head coach, there's a new general manager, there were a lot of new people there, and he could grow along with all of those people, just be part of the process. And being in San Diego versus being in a place like New York, I mean, even being in a place like San Francisco, like San Francisco, to be very, very, you know, for a guy like Sam, like being in San Francisco, well, you know, a lot of stuff's going to be positive, but then are you going to be put up in a pedestal that's going to, you know, make you feel uncomfortable that way when
sure.
you're just trying to go to work and do your job? There are a lot of different dynamics there that are at work that are going to be dictated by the region of the country that he goes, by the media market that he goes to, you know, and I think that's part of it. It's really fascinating. And, you know, for Manti Te'o last year, that really worked out, like where he could go to a place where he wasn't going to be hit over the head with it all year. You know, I mean, they dealt with it at first. The national people came in and did their stories, and then it was kind of done. You know, it wouldn't have been that way for everywhere for Manti Te'o. I mean, if he had gone to New York, I mean, people might have been tailing him home from work, you know, so.
Sure.
Different dynamics, different places that you go, and I think that that's going to play into it a lot. And I think for the teams that are looking at this kid, and they're probably going to take a look at it too and say, are we in the right place? Like, is this the right place for this kid? The same way they would ask that question for any other prospect who might be coming from a different part of the country or has something different, you know, about them. Like, you know, it's just that goes into the fit. You know, that goes into the fit for the player. Like, look at what kind of defense do you play? What's your locker room like? What's the kid's personality versus the other guy's personality? Those are questions you ask for every player. You know, obviously, you know, I think most people would think that they might be a little bit more pertinent in a situation like this because of the circumstances.
Before I let you go, last question. He is now the number one story at the Combine in 2 weeks?
Yeah. I mean, I think Johnny Football just got one up.
Hard to do.
Yeah. No, it's funny. It seems like there's one every year where, you know, I have the press conference in one of the stadium clubs there in Indianapolis. And you guys, I'm sure you guys have seen it, where it's just like, it's almost like a cattle call. Like, you know, everybody, like they announce the name and then everyone goes running towards the podium. And so, you know, 3 years ago, it was Cam Newton, it was Manti Te'o. There's somebody in 2012, and I'm losing it now, but there was someone in there that was a big deal in 2012. And, you know, I think that, you know, that is going to be, to some extent, Johnny Football, but more so Michael Sam now.
Appreciate your time as always at Inside Albert. We'll see you at the Combine in a couple of weeks. Thanks.
Anytime, guys.
Albert Breer, NFL Network. Always good to catch up with Albert. Nicely done there. On the story of the day in the world of sports, Michael Sam, one of the best in the business with the NFL Network. Appreciate the time of Albert Breer. So, you know, that story, does him coming out make him a better player in NFL teams' minds? Would they be open-minded with the Arizona Cardinals to draft Michael Sam? Can he play the game? I think this organization is very open-minded, in my opinion. They've been very open-minded. Look at what Tyrann Mathieu and that whole track record, all right? Different type of story, but same sort of attention. Can he play? Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ on AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
React and interact to our Facebook question of the day. Like our page at facebook.com/sports360AZ.
News and notes of Paula Bobin in about 12 minutes. She's doing something for Sochi. Is that the deal, Eric? Is that what's going on? That's fine.
She's doing a video. She's doing a video for AZ Central right now. So
I was hoping you would say she's doing a video for VH1.
I wish.
I could see her doing that.
Yeah, she's going to be joining us here in about 10 minutes.
That's
but
fine.
One quick thing, Brad, on Michael Sam, I was thinking when you were talking with Albert Breer. Do you think, just follow me on this, do you think whatever team drafts Michael Sam, or if he's not drafted and he's picked up by a team, is that team like a shoe-in for Hard Knocks? I know it's up to the team to decide, but I just wonder, knowing the NFL, if Goodell's like, fill in the blank team. You're doing Hard Knocks this year.
Yeah.
Fill in the blank team says, no, we don't want to do it. Roger Goodell says, no, you're doing Hard Knocks this year.
See, Hard Knocks to me, they did it on the Bengals last summer. I think it's worn out.
Not if it's the team that drafts the first openly gay active player.
That, do you think that angle lasts for 5 episodes of Hard Knocks?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Sure. Look at what last night created for today. All over my Twitter timeline last night.
No,
everywhere today. The biggest story. Marcus Smart should send a thank you note, by the way, to Michael Sam.
No, you're right about that. So should the ASU student who did the spitting incident. Allegedly. the Michael Sam thing to me, when I heard it, it was just, I go about my business. Do I think that there's NFL players that'll be accepting? Sure, I do. Do I think there'll be NFL players that if there's not a microphone and a camera around that they'll roll their eyes? Sure, I do. Do I think that there's bigots in the NFL? Yeah. Are there racists in the NFL? Sure. There's racists everywhere. Have I worked with gay people before? Yes, I have. Does it bother me? No, it hasn't bothered me a bit.
There's gay players in the NFL.
I don't, you know, is this going to trickle down to from the college to the high school? I'm sure that it may. Everything does. But to beat this into the ground, it's like the Teo thing. That's why I kept going back to Manti Te'o with Albert. Manti Te'o was days and weeks and months of talk. And then when it came time for him to play, he didn't do much this year. Yeah, he was hurt. But it was just like, okay, we put all this energy into this. Will the league, if the kid's not drafted, if Michael Sam is not drafted, they've already thrown out the undersized thing. And I'm sure the NFL is going to play up the undersized thing. If you're going to go through this whole Jason Collins comparison, just stop. The two are not related.
Not even close.
I don't even see that. I see more of a Tebow's religion versus Sam's sexual preference.
Yep.
That's what we're talking about here.
And Sam was the SEC co-defensive player of the year. I mean, this guy's clearly not a stiff. I mean, he is an impact player.
But he had three of those sacks. He had 11 and a half sacks, but three of them were against Arkansas State. Three of them were against Vanderbilt. Three of them were against Florida.
But he had a big game in the Cotton Bowl against Oklahoma State, and that's a pretty good team they beat. So.
In the Senior Bowl, I guess he didn't light it up. There were a number of NFL player personnel folks. I talked to an agent this morning about this one. He said that story had been out there for a while and that the teams were just trying to get it confirmed. What I didn't ask Albert is this the only player that is going to come out? Because now there's talk that there's a second player.
No, that's a good point.
And third player. I mean, who knows? Who knows? Over on the college basketball front, so U of A won again last night. They got after Oregon State and did what you're supposed to do to Oregon State at home. Beat them up. Beat him by 12, 76-64. It was getting out on the break for Aaron Gordon, part of the offensive explosion.
The hops there. Tried to bounce inside. Ball knocked away and stolen by Gordon. Here's a 2-on-1. Gordon all the way to the bucket. Lay it up and good.
And after the game, Sean Miller, Gordon, and Hollis Jefferson, the two combined for 33 points. Very, very good night.
You look at their stat line, Rondé and Aaron combined 14 for 25 from the floor. 4 for 6 from the line. They combined for 10 rebounds and 33 points, 4 assists and 3 turnovers, 3 steals, 1 block. So if you think about their 16 minutes that they played, they were very, very productive.
So here's something that's caught my eye, and you may want to jump in on this. The AP poll is out today. Syracuse gets every last one of the first place votes. I'm fine with that. Going through the AP top 25, there is, count them, one Pac-12 conference team in the top 25, which is U of A at number 2.
And it's littered with mid-majors. I mean, SMU is now, I know they're not, there's technically now no such thing because all the conferences are so watered down.
Yeah.
But like St. Louis is a top 15 team, really? I didn't know that. I didn't even know the Billikens were in the top 25.
American University received a vote.
Yep.
I'm not kidding. Stephen F. Austin received a vote. Toledo received a vote. ASU did not receive a vote. Now, ASU is sitting here closing in on 20 wins in a hurry.
In a power conference.
But yep. Is it really a power conference? This isn't good. If you're sitting here, now, I can go through RPI and see where the RPI is. I think ASU is in the 40s now. But this is not good news if you're in the Pac-12 conference and you're lobbying to have 6 teams when you have just one team in the top 25.
And Sendek said, Brad, after the game on Saturday, I mean, he openly started the campaigning just by saying, yeah, we're kind of just all beating up on each other now, and this is kind of the way it is in the Pac-12. You're going to get a lot of close games. The competition's tight. I'm sure he's just reaching out to those NCAA selection people saying, hey, look at us. We're 12-1 at home.
Right.
You said, we're almost to 20 wins. We have a really big game on Friday. We're over here. I know we play on the Pac-12 network. We can't help that.
Yeah, nobody sees us. But here's the thing. So U of A plays at ASU Friday. It's Valentine's night. Are you going to find your way over to Tempe to watch ASU U of A on Valentine's night?
Hey, honey, ..
Hey, sweetheart.
Guess what, ..
Yeah. Hey, I got to go watch a basketball game for a little bit. Now, the game is supposed to be sold out.
It will be
85% red and blue. No question about that.
60-40 ASU.
Get out of here.
60-40 ASU.
ASU? You're calling
60-40
that?
60-40 ASU.
No way.
55-45 ASU.
The ASU fans just aren't there for basketball. They're not. And U of A is coming in here number two in the nation. They have the week off. Bill Walton's doing the game with Dave Pasch. I mean, there's going to be a buzz, but it's Valentine's night. Who schedules ASU U of A on Valentine's night?
ESPN doesn't care.
Now, who does this?
They don't care.
Fight them. Come on. So that's going on. That's on my mind. The Miami Heat are here tomorrow. They actually have a Scottsdale night. In fact, I think they've had two Scottsdale nights because the Heat played Saturday in Salt Lake against Utah. If I'm LeBron James, I probably got on a private plane and went to Vegas or went to the Bay Area or went to Miami, wherever. But you're not going to sit around in Salt Lake City wearing Heat gear for a couple of days and then roll into Phoenix this afternoon. During the course of a season, if you think that players all sit around in the Four Seasons Hotel and sing Kumbaya and don't jump on planes and go places, you're sadly mistaken. Today, the Miami Heat will work out here in Phoenix. We're very excited because it gives us a chance to go see Michael Beasley.
Ooh.
We want to see what Michael's up to nowadays. Like, how has this worked out for you that you were a complete and utter bust in Phoenix? And I know that the Suns have already been down to Miami and he's talked a little bit. I'm kind of joking about Beasley. If anybody cheers for Michael Beasley tomorrow night, their season ticket should be revoked. He was an embarrassment. We'll have more on the Heat game tomorrow, but LeBron is in town today. So assuming they stay at the hotel that they usually do, and they don't stay under the name LeBron James or Dwayne Wade, it's in downtown Phoenix. I'm not going to say the name of the hotel, but there's a very nice shopping district that's right across the street if you go across the crosswalk. And some very nice restaurants. There's a Cheesecake Factory there. I'm not giving away where they're staying. And there's a, what else is down there? There's a Borders. There's a...
No, the Borders closed.
Borders closed?
No, the Borders closed.
Oh, used to love going to that Borders. Capitol Grill?
There is Capitol Grill.
Capitol Grill's down there.
It's not really technically Central Phoenix, but it's close enough that we could call it Central Phoenix.
I mean, if the streets are in the 20s and Camelback grows right through it, then, you know, I'm not giving where they're staying, but it's, you know. So the Heat are in town. We should make a big deal out of the Heat rolling in to play the Suns. But I'm more interested in the Suns. Over the weekend, it came out that Rudy Gay could be a guy that the Suns have interest in this coming offseason. I happen to like Rudy Gay, even though he went from Memphis to Toronto to Sacramento. He's going to be a free agent. I see Ray Allen and Rudy Gay. I see Ryan McDonough saying, I need a guy that can give me 20 a game and give it to me consistently every night. I'd take Rudy Gay. I know they reached out on Zach Randolph with Memphis. I like Zach Randolph. They reached out on Pau Gasol. They reached out on Thaddeus Young. The point is the Phoenix Suns, I don't believe we're going to sit here and not do anything when the trade deadline comes up, which at the start of the season, once again, who would have thought that? Who would have thought that they wouldn't be dumping away some bodies? But if they're going after some of these names, it tells me they're going for it this year. I'm fine with that. And tomorrow night, there should be a buzz. I'm surprised the Suns Heat game is not sold out yet. How is that possible? The scalper is going to get top price. This is a big week in basketball. Sports360AZ.com on AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
So the agent for Michael Sam has spoken. We're going to hear from him here in a second. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ, on a very good Monday. Sports360AZ.com, plenty of content. We're Arizona-centric. Things that I saw through all my years doing television over at Channel 3 and then on the radio side back in the day at KTAR, I said, hey, I'm going to open this up and do my own thing. And if you go there to Sports360AZ.com, you'll see content on the high school, the college, the pro level. We had a soccer game that we put up on Saturday from some high school kids that at their broadcast department at Perry High School. They actually did the game. And they were given some exposure. And lots of people liked that. We're giving them a chance to become future broadcasters. So it's one of the cool little things we do. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I stopped into Santan Ford. this last week. Just bopped on in there. I do that about every week or two just to see what's going on, what's moving, how everybody is going through their daily workflow. And I ran into Ann Pierce, who works alongside of Tim Hovick. Annie's terrific, and she was excited to see the dealership buzzing with so many people. As I pulled up in, my Fusion, the Ford Fusion that I drive from Santan Ford, first guy got out of the car and he said, "That's a good looking Fusion." Yeah, I like driving the Ford Fusion. This weekend I was all over the place, speaking engagements, running around, chasing my kids, coaching basketball events downtown, and I did so in the Ford Fusion. The Fusion makes a lot of sense for me. I don't know about you, the vehicle that you're driving in right now, whether it's a car, whether it's a truck. I've driven the F-150s before, driven the Expedition. I'm a big fan of the Ford product. Santan Ford, the good people there, that's where you need to stop in for your next vehicle. That's at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202. Santan Ford, it is all about you. So Michael Sam's agent is now rolled in, and this is one of the stories that I was wondering about the timing of all of this. In this day and age, things are well thought out, well planned out. There's occasionally stories that break. But by and large, organizations have figured out that media, there's certain times where we're going to drop a story and we'll get much more play, we'll get much more run. Some organizations haven't figured that out yet in Arizona. Some really have. This is a national story. So Joe Barkett is Michael Sam's agent. Why did they decide to make this announcement now?
I think the timing of Mike's announcement was really based off of the reactions that we've received the last few weeks from not only front office personnel, but journalists as well. When we were in Mobile for the Senior Bowl, Mike was being approached left and right by people trying to break his story. And it was something Mike wanted to do after the draft originally, and then we kind of regrouped and discussed if Mike would be able to still do it on his terms at that point in time.
So there it is. I mean, there are agents or media types that were all out there that were saying, "Hey, we know that this story is coming. Let's get it out there." So the kid went through his deal in Mobile, reportedly didn't do that well in Mobile. So he decides, "I'm going to take control of the situation." There's nothing really going on. This is one of the slowest weekends in the year on the sports calendar. The NFL is over, a couple of NBA games, there was golf at Pebble Beach. But by and large, if you want to dominate the story, and if you want to get it out there before going to the combine, if he didn't announce it himself and somebody got to it first and reported it first, would that have looked bad on his character? As you're going through the NFL process and teams are wanting to know every last bit of information about you, and now it's come out that several teams had already known about him, would they hold out against them? Joe Barkett, here is the agent for Michael Sam, the player from Missouri who announced last night, first openly gay NFL player coming out. Do you feel the announcement will hurt his draft stock?
I personally do not, no. I think that it could be seen as positive with teams that he came out and was open about his sexuality and forward and honest with everyone, instead of coming out after the draft and potentially having a team claim that he was dishonest with his dealings.
Right. And so an agent is never going to say, "Well, yeah, absolutely, it hurt his draft status. We knew that." He's not going to say that. This was not going to hurt his draft stock at all. So the timing of it yesterday, not a surprise. The reaction about it, not a surprise. And it's been the overriding story that, yeah, it's nice that LeBron and the Heat are in town tomorrow. And the Marcus Smart story, have gone through that. And the Suns may be going after Rudy Gay or Zach Randolph or Gasol and all of that. But, you know, the Michael Sam story has been the overwhelming topic of discussion today. A little bit of college basketball with Marcus Smart and U of A being the only team ranked in the top 25. To put a bow on it, here's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist and my friend. She joins us every week. Are you being Olympic TV star? Is that the deal?
Yes. If you go on our website, Brad, noon every day, Monday through Friday during the Olympics, we're talking Olympics. Today was Bob Young and I.
And what are you talking about with the Olympics?
You know, kind of what some of the issues are. You know, one was, as figure skating, there's always some issue, and Les Equipes magazine or newspaper suggested that there's some collusion going on between the U.S. and Russia. We were talking about that. I love speed skating because it's a sport that there are not judges involved, and I'm tired of judging sports or wind being a factor or anything else. It's simply about racing against the clock. So we were talking about that, too.
What do you think of Maria Sharapova's television performance so far during the Olympics?
You know, I honestly haven't seen all of it, Brad, but I know from talking to people that they like to see her on TV, however she's performing. So from the people I've talked to, people want to see more of her.
Okay, so Bob Costas' eye didn't catch you this weekend, right?
Well, I mean, you know, I heard him, I saw the opening and him explaining the problem with his eye. It's a little distracting, I got to be honest, but...
Have a seat. Al Michaels is right here, Al, or Bob. We're going to get you right. That's how I took that one.
It's, yeah, that's exactly
sometimes you got to
right.
pull yourself away from it. So yes. I'm getting into the TV broadcast side of it because... Look, the you know Scott Hamilton is going to be Scott Hamilton. There's never been a down day in Scott Hamilton's life, and that's fine. Sharapova's come in. She's been a fresh face. Who would not want to see more of Maria Sharapova? And I mean that in all sincerity.
Sure.
She's doing these fluffy features. That's fine. The ratings so far haven't been as good as they were in 10 from what I've read. I don't know why that would be. Do you have any idea as to why the ratings are a little bit down?
Well, I think coming into the games, there was a lot of question about what kind of impact the U.S. could make. And I think for here, I mean, that's always a big reason about ratings. When you're hearing, yeah, the Netherlands are going to be on top of the board again.
We're losing to Norway right now,
and
Paula.
And the Norwegians are tough,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So that's a hard, I think that's, people want winners. They watch because they want people to win. There's some maybe who watch for the ice dancing and things like that. But most people that are in this country want to watch people win.
Well, they saw the USA women's hockey team just destroy their competition this morning. Should have thrown the mercy rule out there.
I know. But now it's fun because it sets up Wednesday, which will be a much more competitive and a bit feisty game, I believe, against Canada.
I'll be straight up with you. I am not into these Olympics. And part of it, my wife was all over me this weekend about how I've just become too cynical because every storyline seems to be about how they overcame an aunt who lost both arms and worked in a salt factory or what. There's always the backstory, and I'm just kind of done with the salt factory.
No, I get it. I totally agree with you in that regard. I mean, there are some very powerful stories that need to be told. But
yes.
Believe me, most athletes in this Olympics, in these Olympics, have faced some kind of adversity to get to where they are. So,
but a lot of them just see this as the is the golden ticket,
right?
You know, so are they really representing country? Yeah, they are in one sense, but on the other hand, they're representing their marketing firm, and they've been, a lot of these kids have been groomed and groomed from a media standpoint that they don't say anything.
Well, certainly, I know from a lot of the snowboarding events, some of the interviews I've seen, I've not been overly impressed. You don't feel like you're getting a lot of substance there, let's say.
So, away from the Olympics, Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports. I'm not bagging on your deal. That's at noon on AZ Central.
Oh,
of course, I'm on
AZ.
My little show's on AZ Central, so you know it's fine. Everybody can
We're
live together here.
Come on.
So we have the Heat rolling into town tomorrow night, and they're already in town today, so they get a Scottsdale night tonight. Who knows if they're going to have tired legs tomorrow. I don't know if they're going to party their tails off. Where are you at with the Suns and all these trade talks? Rudy Gay's name's the latest, Pau Gasol, Zach Randolph, Thaddeus Young. I think they're going to do something here before the deadline.
Well, I think they've had to rethink a little bit their plans from what they had obviously before the season, where I don't think even they expected to be where they are. And the decision is, do you make a move for the playoffs? And, you know, if it's a Pau Gasol, I would have absolutely no problem with that. Obviously, it depends what is involved in the deal. You don't want to give up too much, but, you know, they have a lot to dangle in front of teams. And I think they want to take their postseason seriously now, which is probably not a question that they had before the season. So I agree. I think they're going to do something. And I feel pretty confident just based on what they've already done that they're gonna be pretty wise in how they make this move.
What can you say about the Michael Sam story today that hasn't been said or that you've heard people say and you're just kind of rolling your eyes over this one?
You know, frankly, the most interesting / sad part of that story for me was when that story was written. I think I saw in the New York Times that sort of offhandedly mentioned that he has six siblings and. Three have already died, and two are in jail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about a difficult childhood. His his storyline seems more interesting to me than the one that they're addressing now. I understand it's big, and I'm annoyed to already hear some off-the-record NFL executives say he might not get drafted. If it's not, if it's because of the fact that he's come out as a gay man, that's horrible and shameful. And I would hope, I would love to see him land in Arizona, because I think this is a community, and I think this is an organization where it would not be a big deal.
If he can play.
If he can play.
That's
exactly.
My thing.
Of course.
If he can play. It was like all the people that wanted Tebow. He couldn't play.
Right. Exactly.
Let you go off that. Stay well. Appreciate it.
All right, Brad.
It's Paul Abova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Sports360AZ.com. That's our site. Appreciate the partnership with AZ Central Sports. We're also on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter. Day in and day out, stuff that we see on the high school, the college, the pro front around Arizona. We're Arizona-centric. Thanks for being with us.